You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy New Year! Welcome in the Year of the Monkey. And thank you so much for tuning in to the second season of Everything is Workable. So, when I started this podcast, it was pretty experimental. Actually, kind of still is a little bit experimental, but anyway, I wasn't totally sure where I would go with it or what it was going to look like. I just knew that I really wanted to share stuff that I find immensely beneficial with a wider audience. What you're getting with this podcast is kind of just the stuff that I talk about day to day with friends and family based on things I've been reading or listening to. I like talking about it because it helps me to understand these things better, to ask more questions, and to really contemplate what it is that I'm studying every day. But with this podcast, in continuing this natural exploration method that I have, I also knew that I didn't want to come off as some sort of know-it-all or a guru or something like that. I talk about these things that I'm studying with people, and they tell me that I'm really wise. And honestly, that makes me uncomfortable. Not because I don't think I'm wise. I'm willing to acknowledge and recognize the wisdom that I have, but I don't want to be credited with it because I've not come up with any of this stuff. I've merely tested it out, applied it, discarded what didn't work, and kept and cultivated the stuff that has worked. Also, I don't want people to discredit their wisdom. When someone says, "You're so wise to me," that's them recognizing their own wisdom. You can't know the value of something unless you've tested it or compared it with your own experience and understanding, which is exactly what someone is doing when they can see the wisdom that someone else has cultivated. Wisdom isn't something that belongs to a person. Wisdom is like happiness. It's infinitely available, and we all have it and experience it in different degrees. Bearing all this in mind, when I started working on Everything is Workable, I knew that setting my intention with it was going to be essential. I don't want to fall into traps of spiritual materialism, and I don't want to misrepresent anything by presenting myself as an authority, because I am really not. I've only been a Buddhist practitioner for 7 years, and, well, 8 now, but still. I'm only the authority on my own experience, and even then, I don't always get it right. So, to kick off this season, and because it is Chinese New Year and just New Year passed in January, and so people are kind of thinking about this, my topic is intention. So there's that quote, cliche kind of thing that people say about intention. Intention is everything. Okay, maybe it's not everything, but intention is pretty important because intention provides context to our actions, the words that we choose to use, how we think about things, and how we conduct ourselves. In Buddhism, intention is taught as something that has more gravitas than actions themselves. For example, most people would probably agree that killing is wrong, right? Makes sense. Don't kill people. Well, not depending on what your intention is. It's not necessarily so. Consider the plots to kill Hitler. Was it wrong for the people who planned them and implemented them, however unsuccessful, to want to kill him? Because their intention was to stop the war and the Holocaust, and their actions were for a greater benefit to the world and for greater benefit to their fellow human beings. And aside on this, actually, I see it go around the internet sometimes. People get asked the question, would you kill baby Hitler? My response would be that I would love baby Hitler, cultivate a sense of wonder and joy in him, and encourage him to follow his passion for art regardless of what others may say. But I digress. Back to intention. So, intention. Intention could change what is universally considered to be a heinous act into one of benefit, as per previous example. And by the same token, an act that most would agree is good could be quite harmful if the intention is to harm. An example for this one, honesty. I know some people who state that they value honesty and the importance of telling the truth, emphatically. And then they use this value as an excuse to say incredibly hurtful things to people, which they then justify by stating that they were just being honest. But their intention was not at all coming from a place of virtue or kindness. It's just a way to justify being a jerk. So I want to look at how intention can completely change how we say something in the context of an all too common problem in society. Fat shaming. So, hands up. Any of you who has ever heard someone say that they're really just concerned about the health of their overweight friend or family member when they're commenting that this person should lose weight? You know how it is. Someone is a little overweight or maybe outright obese, and someone says to you about this person that they think, you know, they should really lose weight, and they're only saying it because they don't want them to become diabetic or to face heart disease or anything like that in the future. Sometimes this is true. Sometimes the intention behind the statement is to voice concern for the health of a loved one. But sometimes it isn't. And I bet you can tell the difference when the intention is actually based on something superficial, like how we value certain body types over others in our society. I guarantee every single person who has ever heard the health-concerned comments from friends or family can tell you if the intention was actually about showing concern or if the intention was to be shameful and, like, shame people. Now, for anyone who has said this sort of thing, you might be feeling a bit defensive right now. But that's good. Trust me. I've totally been called out on stuff like this and will continue to be called out on stuff like this throughout my life. And I know it sounds weird, but I look forward to it. I feel myself try to justify it, but I know that the only reason that I try to justify these things is because I've known that my intention wasn't kind or genuine or heartfelt. The thing is, we can read these things in other people because we're aware of them in ourselves, and it gives us something to work on. It gives us a way of checking our intention. So I make a point of checking my intention by asking myself, is what I'm about to say, do, email, text intended to harm or to help? This has informed me beautifully and prevented me from sending messages in moments of anger or annoyance or irritation. I check messages I'm sending because I want my intention to be coming from a place of benefit, where communication can improve or the task at hand can be accomplished in a way where everyone feels heard and involved. It's tricky though, because the ego is really good at convincing us that we're trying to help and be of benefit by making that snide remark or being sarcastic. To go into ego a bit, ego is the sense that we have that we are an individual separate from others that needs protecting and validation. That's just a rough definition. There are whole chapters in books that delve into ego that I could recommend and go on about, but for me, this is a good working definition. And going off this definition, I have a few other questions that I ask myself if I'm having trouble determining if my intention is to help or to harm. For example, good question to ask, do I want to be right? Or am I trying to protect myself? Checking our intention is a lifelong practice and applicable in almost every situation. As I said at the beginning of this episode, I considered intention prior to embarking on this podcast as a project, and I check my intention with each episode. Am I doing this because I want to come across as a knower, or because I want to help others engage in their own curiosity? Do I want to help people see their own wisdom and ability, or do I want a nice ego stroke? Do I want to help people to develop their discernment and work with their minds? Or am I just looking for some validation like, oh, I'm such an impressive person who's read lots of books? If my intention isn't where it should be, I might actually step back from writing a script or take some time to meditate, or I'll go and read some other stuff actually before recording to change my mindset and make sure that my intention is to be of benefit and is coming from the right place. And I find more and more that if the strongest intention we hold with any action or phrase is to be of benefit, overall, my intention is to be of benefit, it is incredibly rare that we will ever cause harm. So, for 2016, 2017, and 18 and beyond, and for the rest of your life, I invite you to ask yourself what your intention is, often, and see what happens. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.